Our next guest is on the line. He's Dr. Ron Schleifer. He's an Israeli scholar, author, and senior lecturer at Ariel University, and specializing in psychological warfare, which is why he's absolutely the correct person to speak to about certain disclosures made by ex-hostage Rom Broslavsky about the pressure to convert to Islam. Was applied to all the Israeli hostages. Dr. Ron Schleifer, thank you so much for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Pleasure, as always.
So, Dr. Schleifer, when you read or hear that Rom Broslavsky says that at least 60% of Jewish hostages converted to Islam in captivity, that's his claim, What does that number tell us about the psychological pressure Hamas and Islamic Jihad were applying?
Just think of the headlines that such a declaration is made. People would think that the hostages were actively persuaded and actively by their own free or non-free will adopted it, while people don't really know that all it takes that you say something, you say one sentence, and then you're considered converted. Whether they said it under duress or under the promise of giving another half a pita for lunch, that we don't know that, but it's a psychological achievement on behalf of Hamas, and it is another score that which they have achieved on the battle for public opinion, their own public opinion, Israeli public opinion, and global public opinion. It shows that the Israelis are weak. It shows that Hamas has the upper ideological hand. And this is another step for the ascent of Islam, of global Islam. And since Israel is such an important stage on that struggle, I would consider it a major achievement. It doesn't matter that it was just a lie, and just doesn't matter that it is completely untrue. No hostage ever came back saying it was wonderful. They really treated me well. They really, it's quite reminiscent of the Korean War with the brainwashing scandal at the time. But this is nothing like that, not like that at all.
Dr. Schleifer, I just want to understand, is there from an Islamic theological perspective a difference in the way that Muslim captives are supposed to be treated as opposed to non-Muslim captives? Is that why perhaps pressure was at least the Israelis sense some need to convert? Were the rations going to be improved? What was the incentive for the conversion?
First of all, it's ideological. It's ideological. Interestingly enough, last week I discussed this with a friend of mine who grew up in England. He went to a general school. And most of the kids in his class, he was 8-year-old, and most of the kids in his class were Muslim, Pakistanis, I believe, yeah, and Bangladeshi, etc. And they told him, okay, so you repeat after me, La ilaha min Allah, and all that. He said that, and they all applauded and said, now you're a Muslim. He went home crying, and his parents immediately called the rabbi. What's this story? And he said, okay, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. But it were 8-year-old kids. I mean, they were not trained or indoctrinated to do this. It comes naturally. This is Islam. This is, you know, in its most basic format, Islam. And no need to repeat it. Islam's worldview is very simple. The world is divided into two parts. One part, the Islamic part,
Dar al
and the other
Islam.
part is the Islamic part. This is the way they see the world, and every action that they take, whatever on a single basis, or on a general level, it's just another millimeter of climbing the ladder for achieving the mastery of Islam globally. This is the way they see it. So it's not about another pita or not. These are just means, and they really mean it. They really mean it. They want them to be to convert it, and they don't really understand why they don't, why the hostages don't convert to Islam. They really don't understand it. It's so much better, and it's so much fulfilling, and it's so much everything. And this is it. This is being good.
You're telling That's me exactly what Ram was quoted as saying. He said there was an all-day barrage of religious messaging. Muhammad, the Quran, join us. You're wrong. We're right. There really is an absolute, firm, unshakable belief that they're on the right path and everybody else is wrong.
Yes. We need to recognize that. And whoever is not associated with religion, any religion, just cannot understand this mindset, but this is their mindset. And especially it's by the harsh conditions that they live in or live under. And so the worse the conditions for the Muslims, the more strong is the belief, because this is not the real world. Every benefit will come in the life after. And of course, they come these the manipulative forces and tell them that the it's always everything, every benefit is in the world to come. And this has been since Muhammad, has he existed or not, has been giving his instructions of the new religion of Islam, and we believe and trust in.
It's interesting, Dr. Schleifer, my brain is going off at a tangent, but as you're talking, so I'm thinking of the Kol Nidre prayer, which I never really understood up until now. Now it makes absolute and utter perfect sense to me. It's just shocking that I'm living in a time that I'd witness it with my own senses. But to think that throughout Jewish history, this is nothing new. This is something that we've been exposed to for 1,600 years, 2,000 years, I suppose, since the advent of Christianity.
How so? That's encouraging to know. But how do you mean? What exactly do you understand better on Kol Nidre?
In terms of the vows that are made, make they be broken. So you might have been forced to say certain things to convert to Islam to get a better ration of pita. But it wasn't a sincere and an intended conversion. It was a survival conversion.
I see. Yeah, and this is why we need to forgive those who were at the under such duress. You know, in the Warsaw Ghetto, there were very active churches trying to convert Jews for another piece of bread, and some took the deal, but they could not bear to see the children starving. So they took the oath, and they were sent to Auschwitz slightly less starved. That was the end of it. But it's understood. It's understood that under duress, people need to, people are complying, and it's no. We are taught and educated to the light of those who withstood the pressure, those rabbis who didn't eat trafe in the camps, or those. Well, we stood the pressure about conversion during the Crusaders' slaughter of the Rhineland communities. Okay, but there are other people who are not so illustrious, and they broke under the pressure. But it means nothing. And the Kol Nidre, which you rightfully mentioned, is the historical.
It's evidence,
Yeah.
absolute evidence of our history in our prayer books. It's interesting because Rom says he told himself that God is looking at you and he knows everything. So I guess my question to you is, how common is it for captives or prisoners to use faith or return to faith as a psychological shield against manipulation?
That's a tough one to answer. We naturally concentrate on the exceptions. Each seagull is it's one of the famous cases. He didn't use his religious or Jewish upbringing until he was captured, and then he made the road back, so to speak. It is look, I'm focused. All my thinking is focused on manipulation, so it's very hard to think righteously. And even though I am Orthodox, I am very well aware of all the manipulation which are used on the way to get to mitzvahs. I don't blame anybody. I don't blame anybody for saying the Shahada in return for a pita, or breaking under the pressure. We have the since Patty Hearst the Oslo Syndrome demonstration of identifying with the captors. We didn't have it here. We did not have it here, and this is quite encouraging in the way that no one hostage ever declared that he wants to stay in Gaza, or he wants to remain in under the wings of Islam. And this is sure, even though most of the captives were not of a religious education. And it shows that being in Israel, even though you're not practicing religion 100% or 90% or 20%, it still gives you the ideological backbone, and this is very encouraging. This is what I can tell you, how people can attend, they can stand the pressure. It's enormously difficult, and relying on God is definitely a tool. We know it from our own Jewish history of kidnapping and harassment. And normally, especially in Eastern Europe, people withstood the pressure. In Spain, it was something different. And well, third of Spanish Jewry chose not to go on exile under pressure of the church. Rabbis converted, so we have a mixed experience in that. But maybe the golden age of Spanish Jewry made them more susceptible to message. I don't know. In Western and Eastern Europe, the conditions were so harsh that they didn't want anything to do with the Christian Inquisition or the Christian with the church. But nowadays, it is very encouraging to see that even under the non-religious nature of the Israeli system, it did provide them with strength, and I think it's a this is a positive message that we can draw on from this sensational psychological warfare stunt that Hamas is trying to achieve.
Dr. Ron Schleifer, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Thank you so much for your input. I guess the last thing I want to say on this issue, I don't think it's for us to judge. I really, really don't think, having spent 2 years in a dark tunnel, it is for any of us to judge what people did in order to have to survive.